This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get ready to tackle the NFL action with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if you win. The FanDuel Sportsbook app gives you everything you need to place live bets on the NFL, all in one place. So when you get a hunch in the middle of the game, you can check out the latest stats, view live play-by-play, and so much more on the same page where you place your bets. Just visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to join today. You'll get started with $150 in bonus bets if you win your first $5 bet. That's FanDuel.com/sportsfan. Never waste a hunch and make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
Must be 21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, permitted parishes only, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, or Wyoming. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXT-STEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana. Visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York or visit oasas.ny.gov/gambling. Standard text messaging rates apply. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited.
Amazon fall favorites are here to make you say, with low prices on home, beauty, and fashion brands like Amazon Essentials. So hold on to your pumpkin spice whatevers and save on fall favorites at Amazon.
Wiggins drives on Kessler, finds heel, sets his feet, lets it fly. Money, cold, hard cash for Buddy Heel. 11 of the Warriors, 41, and they lead by 9.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Tim Roy on the call, as he is for every single Warriors game on 95.7 The Game. Warriors blow out the Jazz last night, 127-86. And a big reason is, of course, is apparently Buddy Hield. Dan can't miss a shot. I mean, the ball was in his hand going up. In fact, there was one play, I think, in the second quarter. Kuminga was dribbling down. It wasn't necessarily just a straight transition breakaway, but Buddy's in the corner, and he's just, ball, give me ball. And Kuminga didn't see him.
He was open, too.
He was open.
That exact play. No, wait a minute.
Yeah.
What, did Kuminga not see him? Or was one of those, was like, Kuminga's like, no, bro, this is I need to eat. Because the ball reversed him. I think Curry finally found him, right?
It was either Curry or Wiggins, but Kuminga reversed track, kicked it out. I think, yeah, it was either Curry or Wiggins. But Buddy was just sitting there all alone for like 5 seconds, just ball,
yeah,
ball, and finally they hit him. It goes up immediately and it goes in. I don't know. It is refreshing seeing the Warriors playing as fast as they have. I think you touched on that in the first hour. It's like this team is, I don't know, they just feel like they are playing with a lot more energy, and it could be because of a longer off season, not playing as much basketball, most of them at least, guys focusing on their individual games, and I think just, I don't know, the lack of baggage that surrounded the group from the last two seasons, whether it was because of the punch before the year, the contracts last season, it was a lack of a contract for Klay Thompson, but also I think the residue of what happened with Poole getting him out of there, would Draymond Green revert back, the suspensions that followed midseason. There's just a lot of residue in the last two seasons for the Warriors, and it feels like this team has a clean slate, which excites me.
Well, just think about this. This time a year ago, the Golden State Warriors starting lineup was Steph and Klay, Draymond, Looney, and Wiggins. I would argue four of those five guys are low energy and slower. Now, Steph Curry and Draymond are able to pick their spots, but Klay Thompson is no longer a two-way basketball player and clearly was a glaring weakness when it came to transitional defense. He just doesn't have it anymore. And then the first guy off the bench was Chris Paul. You got even older. Now, while Chris Paul could do a lot of good things offensively and balance the floor and give you that quote-unquote calming influence as Steph comes off, but defensively, he's not an upgrade in terms of transitional defense. And Pajemski and Trayce Jackson-Davis were two guys that were sitting on the bench that nobody even gave a thought about getting any sort of substantial run. Now think about it as we fast forward a year later. It's all about Pajemski, it's Moody, it's Trayce Jackson-Davis, it's De'Anthony Melton. Suddenly now, the personnel of this basketball team is all about guys in their early to mid-20s that are getting the majority of the run. And then the Buddy Hields and the Kyle Andersons, these and GP2s are at 30, 31 years of age. They have changed the identity of this basketball team, where it is now energetic, it's younger, and again, getting back to transitional defense and just running the full 94 feet, these guys have the younger legs to do that.
Yeah, and this is from the 650 on the Comcast Business Text Line. If you want to weigh in, 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings, Dan DeVone. We're taking your calls all 3 hours here on Warriors this week, every single Saturday throughout the Warriors season. 650, this will be a season of adjustments, mostly for Kerr. That I do agree with, but in the meantime, if you're able to, and again, this is why I felt, optimistic coming out of the preseason. I don't think the Warriors have yet figured out who they are, but if you can win games in that process, well, then you might actually have the chance to be a good basketball team because, again, you build buy-in from your players, players that are playing a lot, players that aren't playing a lot. Right now, Pajemski's played the second most minutes so far this season for the Warriors. That could change. Buddy Hield has only played 35 minutes. That's seventh most in this team. That could change. Moses Moody has played, everyone's really in that 40 to 30 range. There's like seven guys in that area. And a lot of it has been because of blowouts. But I find it interesting that in the first two games,
40 to 30 is more like 20 to 10. Has anybody played 40 minutes or 30?
Well, I'm saying like total through the first two games.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, sorry.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Total for the first two. Curry's the guy who's played the most minutes and he's been about 25 and a half through the first two games. So also, that's a great sign. If you can keep the chef fresh, that's exactly where you want to live. And he hasn't had to play a fourth quarter the first two games.
Well, I think that's interesting because one of the callers mentioned this, and maybe it's going to happen on Sunday when they take on the Clippers, and you get into a close game, and it's the fourth quarter, and it's late in the game. Who is your closing five? Like, you cannot just have this chaos of guys coming on and off the floor. You have to have a little bit more stability. So I think, to your point, as we go along, and we find out more about this team and quote-unquote its identity, one of the first tests will be who are you closing with when it's a nip-and-tuck affair with a team potentially like that of the Clippers tomorrow?
Well, and all right, let's just hypothetically say that it's a 5-point game, 5 minutes left, fourth quarter. Who do you think Kerr would feature as his closing five?
Well, again, it really depends. If Buddy Hield's got it going, then Buddy Hield's on the floor. I mean, that's the beauty of this. It's who's played well up to that point, and it has to do with matchups. So it's difficult to say from afar without watching the personality of the game to determine who's going to be on the floor. I think a lot of that is determined through the course of the game because he's got 13 bodies from which to choose. And so I think all of that sort of dictated by what it is that the player has been able to do throughout the course of that contest. So I could throw you out some names, but I don't know that would make any difference when you talk about, what actually is going to transpire on the floor if you're down by five or up by five in the closing minutes.
Well, I think that's why I asked you the question is because I do think it's up in the air. I don't think it's set. I don't think that the Warriors, who also last year had like 28 different starting lineups, I don't think this starting lineup is going to finish the year, you know, because I think that there's some holes. I think that also this is a team that, to your point, is going to ride the hot hand more than ever. And Kerr is still going to experiment. And it's one of the reasons why I love what he's done so far is because over the course of, let's say, the first 10 to 15 games, you can gather enough data from all the different combinations that you're experimenting with and figure out which ones you actually want to lean into. Yeah. I think they're still in experimentation mode. I think they're still in development mode for a lot of these young players. And while you also are able to build rest in for Curry, who, by the way, didn't sit a fourth quarter until game 13 of last season, he hasn't played a single fourth quarter two games through this year. If you can keep him fresh, if you can keep Draymond fresh, well, then the question about who starts and who closes, that's going to reveal itself. And I know it might sound like tryouts or like, you know, high school basketball players fighting for playing time. I think this team has the proper makeup mentally to be able to handle that, because you know that Curry's going to play, you know Draymond's going to play, and everyone else, I don't see a ton of egos or agendas on this team. The guy that probably has the biggest agenda would be Kuminga,
yeah,
because he's playing for a contract. And so far, I don't think he's played very well through two games, but that could certainly change. And last year, it took him a while to get going because he was out of the rotation, then was empowered, and then ended up being a 17-point-per-game score. So, you know, I don't want to write off Kuminga's season, but it appears like, I don't know, through the first two games, it looks like he's playing for something more than the other guys, something individual as opposed to the whole.
And his body language, I think, is a little different from everybody else. And understandably, he's a young guy and he's not playing well. I think when you talk about how this starting lineup is going to be potentially drastically different at the end of the season, even at the midway point, maybe in a month from now, get back to me. I think specifically you're talking about two guys, aren't we? We're talking about Wiggins and Jonathan Kuminga, because I don't think...
I think that's the choice that they're going to have to eventually make.
Yeah, because I don't think Steph's not going anywhere.
No.
And I think Draymond is anchored. And I want to believe, but I do think that Trayce Jackson-Davis has established himself as your five. Like, I think that there's a... Even though he's a young player, I don't see that as much as an experiment as, say, like Jonathan Kuminga playing at the three. I think Trayce Jackson-Davis has pretty much solidified himself at the five.
Well, and I think it's, I know you love him. I think it's less about TJD than it is about Draymond, in that Kerr doesn't want to feature him at the center position more than he has to. And Trayce Jackson-Davis is right now, I think, probably a better option than Kevon Looney, though he's looked youthful and recharged and energized. Trayce Jackson-Davis plays well alongside Draymond, and more importantly, Draymond plays well alongside a traditional center. So I think that's what's going to keep TJD in the starting lineup. He's played the fourth most minutes through two games of any Golden State Warrior, and I think it's because he's going to play a lot of those Draymond minutes. And I think that the Warriors are better defensively with him in, but Draymond is able to take over games.
Yeah.
More than he is and was able to last year when they were trying to figure out that what it was, you know, Curry, Clay, Wiggins, Kuminga, Draymond. That lineup last year I thought was to try and figure out how best they could utilize their wings. This year I think defensively that's a big difference for them, and they're trying to figure out how their bigs can be effective.
And Looney has been one of those guys that looks like a reclamation project. You talk about the lost weight and getting rebounds like it was the Celtics series.
He's only 28.
3 years ago. I know. It's amazing, isn't it? And the only two guys, really, again, who are in that sweet spot, when you think about age, usually when you're peaking, are two guys that are sort of, at least by appearance, seem as though they've been around forever, and Wiggins and Looney. Wiggins is 29, and Looney's 28. But again, the majority of your team now that you're relying on are in their early to mid-20s, and that's always good. This world's about young people, man. It's about, in just about every facet, and especially when it comes to sports and basketball teams, you want to be young. And I think that the combination with Steph and sort of the gray beards like that of a Draymond Green, it's working right now. But it's to say it's early might be the understatement of the century. But I do think that, you know.
Oh, you don't want to send them to the top four seeds after two games?
It's fun. And I think they're going to make more of a name for themselves as this goes along early on in the season. But we're going to learn a lot more about them when it gets into a close contest and it's late in the game. You know, what are we doing? And also, again, the big question for me still remains, as it was going into the season, is when Steph's not available, is this version of Buddy Hield sustainable throughout the entire season? Is this high energy of Andrew Wiggins, this persona, is this the Andrew Wiggins we're going to see throughout the entire season?
Well, and I think also, how do they play against stiffer competition? Right now, you got three games. I don't think the Clippers are going to be very good this year, but they're obviously better than Utah and Portland. You play them Sunday, and then you get a back-to-back, your first back-to-back of the year against a Pelicans team. That looks pretty decent. It's coming off a solid season, though. Zion is.
Hey, speaking of the Clippers, what do you think of this?
Amazon fall favorites are here to make you say, woo! With low prices on home, woo! Beauty, woo! And fashion brands like Amazon Essentials. Woo! So hold on to your pumpkin spice whatevers and save on fall favorites at Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get ready to tackle the NFL action with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if you win. The FanDuel Sportsbook app gives you everything you need to place live bets on the NFL, all in one place. So when you get a hunch in the middle of the game, you can check out the latest stats, view live play-by-play, and so much more on the same page where you place your bets. Just visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to join today. You'll get started with $150 in bonus bets if you win your first $5 bet. That's FanDuel.com/sportsfan. Never waste a hunch and make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
Must be 21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, permitted parishes only, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, or Wyoming. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXT STEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana. Visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York or visit oasas.ny.gov/gambling. Standard text messaging rates apply. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Have you heard about this Intuit Dome?
So I was watching their opener.
The Wall?
Dude, what are we doing? I don't know. It's a fun thing, but like, I don't know. I guess...
Explain to the people at home what The Wall is.
So The Wall is this, basically this massive 360 video board that is built to, you know, portray statistics and pump up the crowd and show commercials and all the rest. But also when a guy's at the free throw line... basically blind them, you know, and yeah. I think it was Booker that said it worked or something along those lines, and you know, players are gonna have to get used to it, but it is the most Steve Ballmer thing that I've ever seen. This guy is a big personality, is literally a large human, and I think he just wanted to put his stamp on basketball entertainment.
But the wall is also a section behind the rim where you can, it was almost like it has a collegiate feel to it. It's like going to a Duke game. You can't access it unless you're wearing Clipper paraphernalia. You have to stand, and you're cheering for the Clippers throughout the entire... You're doing Clipper chants. I mean, it's like being at a Cal game.
It feels like they want to build kind of like a... I don't know, like a soccer or European football-type audience.
That's where they got the idea from. So... And apparently the Intuit Dome is pretty amazing.
Oh, I believe it. By the way, yesterday in Los Angeles, like the worst day for traffic probably since the OJ Bronco chase, because you had game one of the World Series, USC football kicked off right after the Rutgers. Dodger game. They had a high school either playoff or state championship game at SoFi. The Clippers, Intuit Dome was hosting a concert. And I think that there was even one more event going on, but it was like there was five different massive events all along the left side of Interstate 5. And my buddy was telling me, he's like, yeah, everyone just said, don't go outside.
Well, if I had to, I know we don't want to talk World Series here, but that's certainly delivered of all of those events that took place last night. And by the way,
what do you mean? I was locked into Utah.
Come on. When we talk about the Los Angeles Lakers, are we not going to, and I want to get back to the Warriors, but this Bronny thing, it did not deliver. I mean...
Did you expect it to?
Well, I think there was a sentiment that it was like the Griffies.
There was a leaked source that said when he was going to play. When have you ever heard of a player, whether it's Steph Curry, LeBron James, or all the way down to Lindy... Like, imagine that the Warriors... came out with a report, a national report, that Lindy Waters III was going to get time at the tail end of the second quarter for his, debut. Like, you'd be like, what?
It didn't work.
It's a joke.
I thought...
It was kind of cool, though.
Yeah, if it was a little bit more organic, it'd be cool. He doesn't belong in the NBA. Ken Griffey Jr.
Nothing about this is organic.
Well, Ken Griffey Jr., and his old man were both pretty good. His old man, Ken Griffey Sr., was on that team. And yeah, he was he wasn't anything he was back into the heyday of his career, but he was still a decent player. You could prop up there as a player coach, essentially. And Ken Griffey Jr. was certainly Ken Griffey Jr., and it made sense. But this is just...
He's going to the G League.
He can't even hang in the G League. If I'm in the G League, I'm like, bro, keep going down.
They won
man.
The game, Devone. Get off the kit. He didn't ask to be here. His old man put him there.
If I'm in the G League and I'm catching these buses to Iowa City, to Medford, Oregon, in the
Sioux
middle of
Falls
the night,
has action, by the way.
I would say, man, are you kidding me? Like this, what's going on here? What's that dude doing up there? What's that guy doing up in the show?
Well, he belongs in a Greyhound more than he belongs in a chartered NBA flight. So when he goes to the G League, earn your keep. All right, cut your chops a little bit and find out what the Iowa Rattlers got going. I don't even know if that's a team. But find out what's going on in some other destination. He's going to be in, I don't even know where the Lakers G League team is, probably like Lake Elsinore or Temecula, some armpit city between San Diego and Los Angeles.
Somewhere you've called minor league baseball for sure.
That's one. Rancho Cucamonga, which is actually not a bad place.
No,
they had
it's
a fantastic
not. You know
what's
from Rancho Cucamonga area? Two people. Kevin Costner.
Only two people?
In terms of stars,
yeah.
Celebrities.
Okay.
And Cher. Cher is from that area.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that movie with Nicolas Cage.
And Kevin Costner. You do know who Cher is, right?
Yeah, she's the singer slash actress.
Yeah.
Moonlight. Or Moon. Something about a moon.
Snap out of it!
You have so much knowledge to...
She slaps Nicolas Cage across the face.
Impart.
Snap out of it!
Yeah, he had a wooden hand, I think.
Very well done.
See, this, and you were saying you don't know things or you're not a smart guy. I mean, Dan Devone actually has some of the best recall of anybody at 95.7 The Game, but it only comes out when we when we're talking about things that have nothing to do with sports.
I'm just down on Bron. I think he's a good kid. It's just LeBron. Come on, man. Like,
they won the game. Now, where it does become a problem is if it costs them a game. But I don't think he's going to play enough to cost them.
Did you hear what Ant-Man said? You know, Anthony Edwards should be mic'd up every game. He was mic'd up. They did beat Minnesota, which is a good team.
Are we sure about that?
Yeah, I think they'll be all right. Are you down in Minnesota already?
I'm down on Julius Randle.
Well, Randle, come on, man. That's why the Knicks got rid of him, man. The ball, talk about the ball sticking. Like, my man, how many times are we going to pound the rock before we get up your little, you know, 8-foot turnaround Jimmy?
Well, he did have, I think, 33 against the Kings, but that's one of those games where Sacramento just is so disinterested in playing defense, and especially now so with bringing DeMar DeRozan in, that it's like, you're just playing a track meet trying to get points up. So, yeah, the Timberwolves, you know.
So Ant-Man said, yeah, Bronny, you don't need to take a shower.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, well, he was dogging.
Well, he dogs everybody.
He was pretty funny.
I mean, Anthony Edwards is probably the player that I feel like you want to watch as much as listen to more than anybody else in basketball.
Yeah.
I don't know if the Warriors have any mic'd up stars. I know people think that Draymond is someone that you want to hear on the court just because he just talks.
GP2,
he's just very loud.
GP2, I'd put a mic on and think he'd be somewhat entertaining. He's got a lot of his dad. He's got a lot of his dad. He's chirping the whole game, man.
He's pretty funny, though. He's got some good one-liners. This is from the Comcast Biz text line, 325. Curry and Heald splash buddies. Best backcourt duo in the league. Dude, are people already ready to put Heald in the starting lineup?
I heard Vontae had a great stick last night. I don't know if this has been done before, but they went back to the NBC studios, and he stuck Buddy Heald, and he called him Buddy Buckets.
Well, that's been his nickname for a long time.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if that one was a Bonte original.
It's the first time I heard.
God love King of the Hill. Dude, I'm not so sure that people are super familiar with Buddy Heald. He's been stuck in Sacramento for a long time. And then again, he got moved around last year. But the one thing that Buddy Heald is, and it is similar to Klay Thompson, at least pre-injury, he never misses a game. Yeah. He's always available, and he's always healthy, and apparently he's always got the green light.
And he's also a good guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I think people associated him because maybe just the way that he plays with being like a Nick Young, who's kind of a clown in my opinion. But everything that I've heard from Buddy Heald, and we were there on Media Day, and we got to talk to him a little bit like behind the scenes, he's pretty cool.
No, he's a good guy. In fact, I think that it's done with purpose that you find, obviously you want to get the best talent, but they also have to they have to be able to immerse in the culture that is the Warriors, which I think is essentially, starting with Steph, is you can't be problematic, which is why Kuminga continues to be, you know, they got to make sure he doesn't climb into his little world and go a little Jordan Poole and just, it's, you know, give me the rock. I'm a young guy and I want the ball. Let me show you what I can do. And if I don't get it, you know, I'm going to sit at the end of the bench and pout. Like, there's that potential with him. They got to make sure they reel him in, keep him tethered to the rest of the team, and keep him involved. Because he can go on Planet JK.
that's going to be an original, Planet JK. But as far as the question, we're trying to figure out what it takes to implement, to sustain a 12-man rotation. Let's just take a listen to Buddy Heald. Here's what he had to say.
First of all, you got to start off liking each other. I feel like I think everybody had the right personalities. Everybody comes in and, you know, there's no egos. And plus, me coming here, there's a standard that these guys go by in this championship. They've done the work. So no matter what you say is wrong, because whatever they say is right. And you just go by that. And you learn and you listen and you try to observe everything. And you just try to figure out how to apply myself into their like uniqueness and how I can be effective.
The first part of that, I think, as we move forward to our next segment, Dan, is the most important part. You got to like each other. It does feel like the Warriors this year, there's something a little bit different about the vibe, the feeling. And I think a lot of fans that I've talked to can already kind of, it's palpable. So I want to get into that on the other side. Do you feel like the vibes are different about this year's team? And why is it? Is it because of the offseason? Is it because of the way that they're playing? Is it because Kerr hasn't necessarily set a standard for who is going to play and who's not on a given night? Is it because of the 12-man rotation? Is it because of the buy-in that someone like Buddy Hield is talking about?
I got a Buddy Hield stat.
Okay.
We got to go to a break?
Other side?
No. Get my stat out now.
All right.
Do you know... This has been regurgitated a million times.
We do
the guy that's hit the most threes over the last 5 years?
Yeah.
Okay. Now we can go to a break.
And I'll tell you why. That stat just continues to circulate for some odd reason on the other side. 888-957-9570. Warriors this week, 95.7 The Game.
Warriors lead by 21. Bad pass on the inbound. Curry deflected it to Wiggins. Curry gets it back. Looking, finds Wiggins, left wing above the break, and it's free for Wiggins, and a timeout for the Jazz. Stephen Curry made all that happen. All he did was come to the backcourt, put some pressure on the inbounds, turns it into 3 points, and the Jazz will talk it over.
Now back to Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, Steph Curry may never play in a fourth quarter again. The call was by Tim Roy after the Warriors beat the Utah Jazz 127-86 last night. Warriors this week, Dan Devoe and Evan Giddings every Saturday along Warriors season. I'm just looking at...
Wait, are you buying Wiggins yet? Because I know you're...
Am I buying Wiggins?
Understandably, you like a lot of people, were out on Wiggins last year. You probably more
years.
Than most.
Yeah.
Are you buying him?
Well, the Warriors tried to trade him. I don't want people to have a revisionist history about that. But I like what I've seen so far. Forgive me if I'm withholding
skeptical
my judgment, about Wiggins.
He's looked good.
What was I going to say? You ruined my train of thought now. No, this is kind of what we do. I was just going through our text thread, Dan, because, we talked about a variety of topics. I'm looking at Kahuna Damas, which I think was about something baseball related. But the last text, because you and I haven't been on air together the last couple of weeks, bro, we got beef, ? Why do we have beef?
No, because you and I. Well, because I hadn't heard from you.
Oh.
And I was informed that we weren't doing the show together multiple weeks. So I felt as though Lucas essentially came to my house and handed me like divorce papers. I'm like, okay, I had no idea we had beef. Is there something up with my man Sterling that I'm not aware of? So I thought I would confront you directly. Bro, do we got beef?
No, we don't. But it was funny. I just got the text out of the blue. So I was in Vegas last week looking for cricket. That's an inside joke if you've been listening to the Saturday shows. Looking for cricket. Didn't find her. Found another fantastic woman, though. And then the week before, I think I had a broadcast or something else going on. So, no, it's not a beef.
We have not done a show since you were getting liquored at 4 in the morning at the University of California. But you were at Cal, we have not talked, which could have been one of the most epic days in the history of that school and that program, and it turned out to be one of the worst.
Yeah, so backtracking 3 weeks, before we get back to the Golden State Warriors, I promise we will. We got a lot to get into from two games. So the Cal game was an unbelievable atmosphere. I was just riding all day from 4 a.m. to like midnight when the game ended.
So I saw the game day. Obviously, you were there. So later that day, I saw it replayed.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the best game days, if not the best game days. When Daniel hits the field goal.
The kick?
The kick and McAfee and Herbstreit going nuts. Like, that was one of the best games. Like, Cal delivered. And then I'm watching this game, and in halftime, they're rolling Miami. I'm like, this is the greatest day in the history of the program.
Well, it was.
And then all of a sudden,
until
like,
the fourth quarter.
Yeah, 5 minutes in the fourth quarter hits.
No, it was funny. So, and actually, the men's basketball coach, Mark Madsen, former Los Angeles Laker, he was sitting like two rows behind us. So we were chopping it up with him all game, and, you know, we were having a good time.
Great guy, right?
He's awesome.
Yeah.
Big fan, and just supports whatever program that he's associated with. So
smart guy, too.
And, really smart. And I don't know what they're going to be in the ACC this year, but we're talking to him, chopping it up, and I think it was in the third quarter right after the pick six, and they go up 25 points, and it's like, holy bleep, they're about to win this football game. Yeah. They're about to take down, I think they were at the time number eight. They've since moved higher. University of Miami, it's going to be great. So everyone starts creeping down. Everyone starts creeping down towards the bottom of the field. And then Miami scores one touchdown.
To rush the field, you mean?
Yeah. We're taking the goalpost down.
Oh.
At least in my mind. And then Miami gets a stop. And then Cam Ward throws a touchdown. And then Miami gets a stop. And then Cam Ward runs for a touchdown. It's like, oh my God. And so part of me wanted to see if they could legitimately come back. They were down three or four scores with like 11 minutes left in the game.
So sad.
It was one of the greatest comebacks I've ever seen. It just so happened to come against the team that I was rooting for.
Yeah, and you know what? You really want to point a finger at what, and Cal did do a lot of wrong things, but actually Cam Ward in Miami, you got to tip your hat, man. They balled.
No, I don't. They're
frauds. Well, I told you that going in, and Cam Ward was overrated, but
yeah, actually, that's the one guy I came away thinking he's not overrated.
Well, yeah, at the
rest
of
the team.
Were you really going to tear down a goalpost?
I was going to try. I don't know if it.
That's so 1980s. That's like, I don't know. I haven't seen anybody bring down a goalpost. It's been a while.
Dude, they did it literally earlier in the day.
Yeah, what did
or
they
or
do
the
that?
Week before. Yeah, Vanderbilt. Yeah.
That's right.
When they beat Alabama for the first time since the Civil War.
But I mean, would you be one of those guys that's going to climb to the top of that post? Or are you just like sort of like pulling on it from the base? Because somebody's got to be at the very, usually you have somebody at the top and there's a host of people like down at the lower base and everybody's got to put pressure on it, like weight, to sort of bring that thing down.
So I think it depended on what state of mind I was in. If I was 4 a.m. on
if I was
4 a.m. on California Street, Evan, I might have been at the top trying to scale this bad boy with all my might. But it had been a long day. You know, I had to work with you. That was probably the highlight outside of game day and literally everything else that happened. And then at that point, I probably would have been at the bottom just giving it a slight
push.
You
got to be careful when you get up to. This has nothing to do with anything, but I just talked to this buddy of mine who's gone through 3 months. He's looking to be a fireman right here in San Francisco and join the fire department. And what they have to do is really strenuous and challenging physically, like lifting up these 250-pound doors, carrying people upstairs.
These guys are linebackers.
They got to lift. I mean, it is difficult for 3 months. It's the final 4 days, right? He's basically passed. And so in the last closing days, they have a character building day where they build this human pyramid.
Oh, my God.
And he
God.
Falls off the back, and someone's supposed to catch him, snapped his ankle, and he's done.
I shouldn't be laughing at that.
No, and I felt sorry. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Because I saw him walking around in a boot, and I'm like, oh, they got you, huh? He's like, well, you won't believe.
I was saving a cat.
How I failed this thing. It had nothing to do of any of the challenges in terms of physically trying to be a fireman, but rather it was a character building. I was at the top of the pyramid, fell backwards, no one caught me, and I broke my ankle, and I'm done.
Yeah, not character building, character destruction, or foundational building. You got to build a stronger ankle there, buddy. Get some titanium plates in there or what? Oh, well, I don't know if the Warriors.
Yeah, thank you. The Warriors, who are they? Yeah, thank you.
What kind of character building can we have? Do you think we could get Steph Curry, Brandon Pajemski? Actually, all right, this I think is, well, I just came up with a decent question.
I do want to talk about Kuminga, but go ahead.
We definitely can. We got about an hour and 20 left, up until 12, every day, every Saturday, I should say, Warriors this week, 95-7 the game. But if you were to build a pyramid from bottom to top, who would be on the Warriors pyramid? Because I think they actually have enough people. So if they're building, let's see, 5-4-3-2, that's 15, right? I think 5-4-3.
Yeah.
Two. Yeah, 15 people. Yeah. 15 man roster. Where are you starting your Warriors? Who's the foundation? Who is not going to be breaking their ankles?
No, I wish I never told this story.
What do you well,
we really got to do this exercise.
Cam, do you want to help? No.
Okay, I'd say, so the foundational pieces are Steph and Draymond, Looney, and then I put GP2, and then I'm going to put in, so is that my base? Is that five guys? No, that's four. And then I put in as my fifth. Yeah, I'm going to go the old soul, Trayce Jackson Davis. I think he's established himself as being a base guy. Like, I hear what you're saying, that he sort of goes hand in hand with Draymond. But I think even if Draymond's out, he just understands pick and roll. I think he understands just the good hands around the basket, his screen setting, which he's learned from Looney. I think he's a base guy. I'll let you do the next tier.
No. I would agree. The only guy, I guess, actually, I think I'd probably put Moses Moody in as my fifth instead of Trayce Jackson Davis. To me, he would be in the second level, the four.
Okay.
And just because he's a little bit younger. But I think Moody, to me, represents a little more of what I believe to be Golden State Warriors basketball. But I'm with you. You know, Curry, Draymond. GP2, I think an understated but obvious choice, along with Looney and then Moody. The second level, I would have Trayce Jackson Davis in. I would have Brandon Pajemski in. And then from there, for my last two spots, I think I would put Buddy Hield at this point. I think what he's shown so far, as in regards to buy-in, I've been blown away. Now, I don't think he's going to keep shooting 60% from three, but just the way that he's approached this season, and probably taking a step back. I think he was humbled a bit last year by what happened in Philly. But from what everything I heard, all the Sixers fans loved him. Like, he wasn't a guy that pouted. Yeah. He wasn't a dude that threw guys under the bus. He was really good. So he would be my third. And
wait, I got a great nickname for him.
Buddy Buckets?
Yeah, Buddy Buckets.
I feel like that's been his nickname since birth. Just the moment he could throw up a shot on that little 8-foot T-chucker.
Okay, who else you got?
This one's tough because I don't know. He's been here for a long time, but I can't yet. Wiggins has not proved to me yet that he is still that same guy from a few years ago. This might be disrespectful, but I like Kyle Anderson. Slow-mo? Dude, he's always been on a winning basketball team. Everywhere he's been.
No, that's true.
From UCLA to San Antonio to Minnesota, he's always played for winning teams.
Yeah, I guess Minnesota was a winner last year. Kyle Anderson.
Oh, and Memphis, sorry.
Kyle Anderson is a good player. And there was a play last night where he was suffocating with GP2, and I think it was Sexton. Colin Sexton had the basketball. And they are such pests. You forget about GP2 and his importance because he's been so oft injured. But him being upright and playing, again, we talk about sustainability. If he's somebody that can stay away from the annual injury, GP2 really continues to set the standard defensively for this team, I think. And he is so important. And when you think about him and D'Anthony Melton and Kyle Anderson, the three of them were mugging Colin Sexton. I'm like, wow, that is just, I do not want to be Colin Sexton or anybody on the Utah Jazz having to deal with these guys.
No, I mean, you could pretty much, like, they also feel a little more interchangeable. And I think that's a big reason why Kerr can play 12. It's not just that the talent level is similar, but I think there's more players on this year's group that just fit together. And again, it is because of the offseason additions. With all due respect to Chris Paul, I don't think he ever wanted to come off the bench. Like, he's in San Antonio. He's in a place now where he can start, and he can still be the player that at least he wants to be. Last year, he was a consummate professional. I think he helped mentor some of the younger players. I think Chris Paul's a good guy, but I don't think he was happy in the role that he had. Now you look at Melton, Slow-Mo, Kyle Anderson, and Buddy Hield. Those are three players that have started, that have come off of the bench, and that have been somewhere in between. So all three of them have had different roles in their NBA careers, but they're also still not old enough that they're over the hill and they can contribute. So that's why I like the swap, along with Clay, who we talked about earlier, of swapping Clay Thompson and Chris Paul for those three dudes.
And every single one of those guys are good with limited minutes, because that's essentially what they've done throughout their career. They're all role players. You go through that entire roster that played last night, and everybody, with the exception of Jonathan Kuminga, I think, is the one guy that can be problematic because everybody else can buy in because that's essentially who they are. They realize that they got to deliver when they're on the floor. And even when they're on the floor, it's a limited role. And they're good with yo-yoing back and forth out of the rotation. Nope. I'm not sure that Jonathan Kuminga is there yet.
I would agree with you. Before we dig in deeper onto Jonathan Kuminga, I do want to get out to San Ramon and bring on Pete. Pete, what's going on? You're on with Dan and Evan on Warriors This Week. How are you?
Evan, Dan, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I am what the kids call hella swell. I hope you guys are all good today.
Love that.
I just want to comment on your first five, that foundation, that base. And base is like a floor. And I'm so glad you all, I think you agreed on Moody and Payton in that five, because they do some of their best work on the floor, horizontal. Goins after the ball, scrapping. I love those two guys. And that's pretty much what I got.
Yeah, right on. I do think it's interesting that, well, number one, I think it's the reason why he got paid, Moses Moody. They were able to find a number that was good for both sides. But as much as I believe that Jonathan Kuminga can become a good player, Moses Moody has always fit more with what I believe the Golden State Warriors are under Steve Kerr and Steph Curry, which I think is the reason why a lot of fans have issues that he doesn't play more. Is like he always seems to play well. He never seems to hurt you. Now, he's never had a massive game-winning performance. He can't take over quite yet, but he's solid. And you don't have to deal with the roller coaster ride that you do often with Kuminga. Sometimes he can take over a game, but he can also go 1-for-5 with 2 points last night. And by the way, his only bucket was an alley-oop dunk.
The issues with Kuminga, especially when you put him alongside Moses Moody. See, I think we're both in agreement. We don't know where this is going to go, and we continue to talk about sustainability. We'll see. It's fun. But the one thing you'd have to admit, and this is applicable for football and just about anything else, that when we talk about, what do we say about defenses with football? It travels, right? Like, you don't know how your offense is going to respond. Are you going to be good in terms of throwing the ball? But as long as your defense is solid, you'll always have a puncher's chance. Well, the same could be said about the Golden State Warriors this year, is that we have no idea whether they're going to be able to play and thread this thing every night if you're Steve Kerr and get 12 or 13 guys. But if your defense is energetic, and you got young guys that are doing this and that are proven with the Anthony Melton and Moody and Slow-Mo, well, you're going to give yourself an opportunity regardless of what's happening on the other end of the floor. The one thing with Jonathan Kuminga, it's not, yes, it's pretty glaring that he only had a bucket last night and one rebound. The rebounds, I mean, we know going into the season that he's got to improve.
Mm-hmm.
But it's defensively is where I think the disconnect is with Steve Kerr at the end of the day in the Golden State Warriors. Because I think he's good on the ball. He's always been a good on-the-ball defender. But just keep an eye on him when the ball's reversed. And he's not Jordan Poole-esque, but he gets a little disinterested. And it's about the rotational defense. It's about helping out. It's about all those things that not only Steve Kerr, but Draymond Green, you talk about playing alongside Trayce Jackson-Davis. If you want to play alongside on that front court with Draymond Green, you sure as hell better know what it is that you're doing defensively. And it entails a lot more than just on-the-ball defense. And I think that might be as much, if not more than anything else, why he might be a guy that could be sort of the odd man out.
Well, and I think you're spot on in regards to the peripheral defense. Like when he gets a guy in his chamber, he can keep him in front. But there was a play early last night, and again, I think one of the reasons the starting lineup has fallen behind, even then they've gone on to blow both Utah and Portland out. But there was a play in transition where the Jazz are coming up, and Kuminga just floats with a guy out of the corner, and it leaves Keontae George just steps into a wide-open wing three. And, Draymond's telling him to go up. He rotates, but he rotates too late. And those are the kinds of plays that, look, it's early in a game, you're playing in a flow, or you're trying to get your flow against a Utah team that's pretty disjointed and just wants to make it a track meet. But those kinds of plays are ones that you just look at and you say, that's a mistake. I also think in transition and in general, it's funny to me how when you think about Kuminga, you think about him being a downhill force, right? Just a brute bull that can get to the lane at will. Excuse me. But one of the things that I've noticed is he has tunnel vision. He doesn't look for anybody on either side of him when he looks to go downhill. We brought up the play where he missed Hield in the corner. Eventually, they got it to him and he made a three. But there's a play in the first quarter where GP2 is just running naked up the right side. And Kuminga instead just puts his head down, tries to get to the rim. I think he got blocked. But it's like, give the ball up.
Yeah.
And he's done that a couple times now in these first two games where it just feels like he refuses either to pass the ball, or perhaps he just doesn't see the guy that's alongside of him. There was a play in the Portland game where it was even in half court. He attacks the paint. The defense collapses. Wiggins heads up play, cuts to the rim, and Kuminga could just dump it off or shuffle it to him, and he doesn't. And I think they ended up getting free throws, and you know they got points out of the possession, but there's just some of those little things that you wonder, is that ever going to change?
Well, I think it did change because we saw stretches last year where he really took steps and was maturing, was doing exactly what it is that you just pointed out. He was recognizing and getting everybody involved and not forcing it and was drawing and kicking. Whereas early on in his career, he had those blinders on and it's just me and the hoop and that's all I see. And then we saw some growth last year where he was able to recognize other players on the floor and was getting rid of the ball. But now it seems as though he's taken a step back, which tells me that he's in his own head. He's in a little funk here. And I think he's thinking about the contract. And he's not necessarily embracing, nor do I think he fully understands. Like, wait a minute, I'm coming out. We got all these guys. Typically with the Warriors, you know, when I got it going, I stay on the floor. And I play a lot. What's going on here? It just looks like it's a little foreign to him. Whereas you have a bunch of guys, as I've mentioned, then not only buy in, but this is essentially what they've done throughout their entire career. The DeAnthony Meltons and the Moses Moody's and the Kyle Andersons and even Buddy Hield. They play in spurts. So they're like, yeah, this is what I do. Let's go. I think this is more of a transition for Jonathan Kuminga than it is the other players.
Yeah, and I think that he's clearly playing for the bag. You know, I think he was at times last year. But it was easier to do, either because there was other distractions with the team that took away from it, or there were injuries that allowed him to flourish. And I just think that he's playing with a weight that not a lot of players at his age have to play with. And so when I say he's clearly playing for the money, I don't mean it that he's selfish, but it's like, him and Josh Giddey were the only two real players in his class that did not get paid this summer across the league. Moses Moody also got paid. And some of that might have been because, look, he wanted more money than he was worth. You know, his agent wanted to get him this. The Warriors didn't want to give him to it. But he's clearly playing for something other than wins and losses right now. And I just feel like that's a lot to put on a 22-year-old. And so I don't think he's necessarily going to make himself money this year, and there's other factors that have to do with it. You know, the second apron that everyone seems afraid with, the lack of money that a lot of teams have at this point, but it just feels like he's playing against two opponents. He's playing against the looming contract and also, of course, his opponent whatever given night it is. So that's a hard place to be if you're Kuminga.
I do think before, you know, we pencil this guy in as somebody that's not going to buy into what it is that we're doing and not having a good year. He's capable of breaking out for 25, 30 points tomorrow against the Clippers. I think we do have to recognize that, you know, he still has a wealth of talent and that's still within him. He just has to grasp. I think what's so difficult for him right now is that he has to realize that the rotational defense and defending so that Steve Kerr has a comfort level with him is so important. And I also think he just has to realize that the money will come. Like, let me just buy into what we're doing here. I'll do the little things. I'll rebound. I'll get on the floor after loose balls. And if I have an opportunity, I'll get to the rim and do me. Just let the game come to him, and you'll get rewarded at the end of the day. To me, he's trying to force something that's not there.
Well, and to take it a step further, it's not just the money. It's like the points will come. The stops will come, the steals, the block, everything that he's trying to put into that box score will come. if he's patient. And I think that's where I was encouraged by his growth last year, is it did appear that the game was slowing down for him.
Yeah.
And through two games, that's not necessarily the case. But I don't think that that means he's reverted. I just think he's trying to do it all at one time. And that's hard for any player to do. But the benefit, or I should say the positive of it is, your team is still 1-2 games by 35 points apiece. So even when Kuminga is pressing, and you could apply this, I think, to other players too. It's like, all right, well, Curry hasn't had a big game. Kuminga obviously hasn't looked spectacular through two games. Draymond Green, outside of, I think, one quarter against Portland, hasn't really put his fingerprints on everything. There are players that haven't done what, say, Buddy Hield has done, and the Warriors are still 2-0, and they ran away with two wins against two teams they should have beaten. So that's why I'm excited about this upcoming week, especially in regards to Kuminga, is like, all right, the Clippers, they actually got some wings that both you have to defend as well as score on. The New Orleans Pelicans, you're going to go against Trey Murphy, who just got paid. They have a bevy of wings, Brandon Ingram being one of them, that can attack you and take advantage of you. So I think we're going to learn a lot about Kuminga through these next three games, all of which are at home, and I look forward to watching or being at. But you're right. He's off to a forceful start to begin his season, and I think that hopefully he'll learn from that.
Zion healthy?
He didn't play in the last game.
I think it's day-to-day, so he could be in uniform.
He's always day-to-day. Dude, the NBA is such a joke. Like,
Joel Embiid is a joke.
Well, what the Sixers are doing is a joke. Yeah. They're basically trying to shrink his season. And I realize Paul George got hurt in preseason, but it's like, I don't know. Joel Embiid is trying to lengthen his dominance, but I don't really know what it's for. Is it because he just got paid three for, you know, whatever, hundreds of millions of dollars this offseason? Is it because he's trying to keep himself healthy for the playoffs? Is it because he's just not really interested in playing basketball at the beginning of the year? You know, Kawhi Leonard's out for an indefinite amount of weeks. Joel Embiid is out. Zion Williamson is maybe play, maybe he doesn't. There's just, dude, I was looking at the injury report last night before the Jazz game, because I saw, you know, Curry and Draymond had contusions or something. They were questionable. They played. But other teams got like five guys out already. It's game two of the NBA season. Memphis Grizzlies had like four dudes that were out. What are we doing here?
But John Morant...
What are you doing this offseason?
John Morant and Desmond Bane could be the sleeper backcourt that people need to keep an eye on. Ja's healthy. I love that.
No, I do too. And one, they were obviously really good before he decided to get, you know, gun happy. But on the other side, look, we got 1 hour left here on Warriors This Week. We're taking your calls at 888-957-9570. Also, number for the Comcast Business Text Line. Is someone like Jonathan Kuminga, is that a question you have about this team, or does it sort of fall under the umbrella of, well, they're trying to play 12, they're trying to feature a lot of different guys, and right now, he's just going to have to take a step back. Everyone's going to have to take a step back and do what Buddy Hield is talking about in sacrifice. 888-957-9570. Evan Giddings, Dan DeBone. We're back after this on Warriors This Week.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Get ready to tackle the NFL action with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if you win. The FanDuel Sportsbook app gives you everything you need to place live bets on the NFL, all in one place. So when you get a hunch in the middle of the game, you can check out the latest stats, view live play-by-play, and so much more on the same page where you place your bets. Just visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to join today. You'll get started with $150 in bonus bets if you win your first $5 bet. That's FanDuel.com/sportsfan. Never waste a hunch and make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
Must be 21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, permitted parishes only, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, or Wyoming. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana. Visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York or visit oasas.ny.gov/gambling. Standard text messaging rates apply. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited.
Amazon fall favorites are here to make you say, woo! With low prices on home, woo! Beauty, woo! And fashion brands like Amazon Essentials. Woo! So hold on to your pumpkin spice whatevers and save on fall favorites at Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.